Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast, the only podcast that cares about Scottish rugby. And now we have partnered with the only magazine that cares about Scottish rugby. We are now powered by Scrum Magazine. Get on to scrummagazine.com and follow them on Facebook and on Twitter. Subscribe to their print magazine. Issue number 111 is coming out at the end of October, their November Internationals special, which will be full of all the interviews with the Scotland players and also covering everything going on in the domestic and women's game as well. That's scrummagazine.com to subscribe. Now, onto the pod. We've got Edinburgh back rower Jamie Ritchie, Glasgow assistant coach Mike Blair, and a long conversation about Stuart Hogg's hairline. Here we go. Welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast, coming from you live and exclusively this week from Alan's flat. Alan, thanks for having us.
No worries. How you doing?
Yeah, very well, very well. Quite casual you've gone for in your own house this week.
Mate, pair of boxes, all you need.
I suppose all you need for the pods. And we're actually joined by your wee cat as well, new addition to the family.
Yeah, well, all my friends have been getting engaged, so I did the only reasonable thing and panicked and bought a kitten.
Is it true that it's called Alan Jacobson?
I put three names to my girlfriend: Alan Jacobson, Hugh Jones, and Hugo Southwell's left boot.
And what did we go with?
She's called Luna. So,
so you compromised and went with Ashley's list.
I had a real lack of negotiating power.
Well, it's great to have you. And Matt is it's another anime conference, isn't it? He's in Japan.
Yeah, you would think that an engaged man nearly hitting 30 would slow down in the anime conferences, but no.
But no, if anything, he's speeding up.
Yeah. So, yeah.
He's going to be back next week. Thanks a lot for joining us. Guys, you'll be listening to us on iTunes or Acast or wherever you get your pods. It's been another really busy week on Twitter. That's at Thistle Rugby Pod. And on Instagram, Alan made his meme debut.
Woo!
Which was great. That's Thistle _ Rugby _ Pod. And the correspondence continues to flow in, guys. Thanks a lot for sending us your emails. That's thethistlerugby@gmail.com. And I'm going to start with one which just came through a couple of hours ago from listener Kyle Alexander. He says, "Hi, lads. I was planning on taking the missus to the Wales versus Scotland game in the autumn, but then I remembered that I hate the stupid Welsh accent and Cardiff is a shithole. I've got money back from the hotel I have booked and now have two spare tickets for the game. Does anyone want them?" So if anyone is interested in going down to the Doddybird Cup, I'd get in touch with Kyle.
And to be fair, Cardiff is a shithole, but it is a great night out.
It's such a great night out. It's like, yeah, putting a stadium in the middle of Princes Street or Sauchie Hall Street. It's ridiculous.
There is no lower moment, though, than the 10 a.m. in Cardiff Wetherspoons after Scotland have lost and you've just missed a train. Your six-hour train back to Edinburgh.
I can imagine that is extremely bleak. Well, so yeah, get in touch with us. Kyle's got a couple tickets for that game. If anyone's looking for them, we will connect you. So get at us in our inbox, thethistlerugby@gmail.com. Kyle, thank you very much for writing in. Right, so we're going to crack into some news. There's been some big news out of Glasgow in particular, literally in the last like 3 hours. So that's made our pod quite interesting. And then we've got two interviews to help us preview the first weekend of European rugby, and it's big. We have got Jamie Ritchie from Edinburgh and Mike Blair from Glasgow helping us to preview European Cup rugby. How good is that?
What a lineup.
So why don't we get cracking straight into the news? And Glasgow's prop idol is over. Petrus Duplessis he's come from London Irish, but he's probably best known from his time at Saracens, where he won two European Cups. He is joining Glasgow effective immediately until the end of the season. Alan, what did you make of that?
Yeah, didn't really see it coming. Although I think there's been rumours that he's been looking to leave London Irish this year. So, kind of makes sense.
He played an A-League game for Saracens last week.
That was it. He is 37, so he is looking for that. He's probably looking for that last, like, 9 months. Just something quite nice, playing the Champions Cup.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's actually probably perfect exactly what Glasgow need.
Yeah, an experienced head that can come in and sort of shore up that scrum, which it's going to need. Because I suppose it would have been a big ask. Darcy Ray. Adam Nicol had a great run out last week. He's a young lad. I mean,
yeah.
Packing down against Mako Vunipola is a completely different kettle of fish whoever was it in the front row for Zebra.
He would have gone starting for Stirling County, starting Pro 14 game, playing against Mako Vunipola. It's just like, it's actually unsafe.
That is actually quite a steep learning curve.
Yeah.
There's only one man that can do that, and his name's Daryl Marfo. He is the only man in Scottish rugby that can grow at such level. So yeah, welcome Petrus. There's actually a very good chat with him on the Glasgow Warriors official podcast, if you're interested in
that. Are we talking about that?
Oh, I don't know. I think, well, their adverts pop up in between our pod. So they're essentially subsidizing us. So thank you very much to the Glasgow Warriors communications team.
What, because we're raking all that advertising money?
The revenues are getting a bit extreme. We've got too much cash, if anything.
I think I worked out our hourly rate, and it was something like 71 pence each.
That's not bad.
Yeah. I mean,
that's fine. We're returning the rest.
I think that's below like the extreme poverty rate.
I think we're in what, podcast poverty?
Yeah.
That's real. Tiny little violin I can hear playing from all of the listeners. So Petrus Duplessis is in at Glasgow. And going the other way, Big Brian, it has been confirmed that he is off to Toulon. How weird is that?
I think that's going to be the weirdest signing in world rugby.
I've got no idea what that's all about.
Yeah, I just think it just shows you what can happen when you've got like a mad owner who's got complete control over transfer policy.
Yeah, entirely. And obviously he's just like, we talked about it last week, Brian's not played a game for Glasgow in ages.
Yeah.
There's not that much footage of him playing rugby in the Northern Hemisphere. I mean, he just didn't play that many games for Glasgow since he's been there.
No. And I wonder if this means that he'll start playing for Samoa. Because I guess I kind of assume that's why he hadn't been called up to the squad, because he was holding out to play for Scotland.
Yeah, I suppose so.
So, yeah, he's obviously given up on singing O Flower of Scotland.
Given up on his dream.
Yeah, I know.
That's a real shame. Well, best of luck, young Brian. Down in Toulon. Edinburgh will see him.
Yes,
he'll be coming back straight away.
That'll be interesting, actually.
That'll be very interesting to see how he gets on. Speaking of Edinburgh, Phil Burley, who was let go by the club in the summer, has signed for the Japanese super rugby club, the Sunwolves.
Yeah, clearly just living the dream. He's just like gone back home to Christchurch, playing a bit of Mitre 10. He's off to Japan for an absolute bag load of cash.
How big a payday is that?
Oh, and then he's just probably going to head back to like the farm in Otago for a wonderful little retirement.
Fair play to him.
I mean, it sounds like a real nice life.
He's done really well. Yeah. Well done, Phil. So that is happening. We'll keep an eye on that. It's one for our Scots abroad. And just, it's not really news, but how good is Duncan Weir playing down at Worcester?
I love him. He's too good. King Pudding.
The King Pudding. He's been upgraded.
Yeah, he was the Pudding. He now deserves to be called the King Pudding. Yeah.
I think as a podcast, we are very harsh, but I think we're also very good at putting our hands up when our rhetoric goes a bit wrong. I mean, I think we were critical of Duncan Weir when he was playing really, really badly for Edinburgh or Glasgow and Scotland.
Yeah.
But no, like, he's down at Worcester. He's playing some great stuff. They've just put 50 past Bristol, which is like an effective relegation 6-point battle victory. And they're cheering his name down there. They can't get enough of him.
No, I agree. And I think probably part of it is he's got Francois Hogard to his left and he's got Ryan Mills to his right.
Yeah.
Two like near pretty much world-class players.
Yeah.
And he just seems to be improving.
Do you know why he's improving?
Is it because of Solomon?
It's because of Alan Solomon. What's that all about? Solomons is good now?
We're going to do a deep dive on this in a later pod. Is Alan Solomons a good coach?
I think that's an 8-part sort of docu-series. We're going to have to get a bit of investment for that.
Cool. If anyone wants to fund that docu-series,
please get in touch. Yeah. We can also look into the sort of... Well, they've also got a new owner. The SRU Trojan Horse has failed.
Yes. No, I saw that.
Which is a real shame.
There was a bit of chat that SRU were still kind of floating around that bid, but obviously they were outbid by this consortium from like the Swindon Town owner. Poor Dodson couldn't get his Trojan Horse down.
Maybe that's why Stuart Hogg was in Newcastle this week.
Ah.
He's tapping them up. He's keeping them sweet.
I mean, Newcastle makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Geographically it makes way more sense. I think we've veered out of the news section there a little bit. Before we get into looking ahead, obviously, to the first weekend of Heineken Champions Cup rugby this weekend, why don't we have a quick look back at two bonus point wins for the Scottish teams last weekend. Glasgow with a very impressive 5-point win against Zebra, or at least a very impressive second half win against Zebra. 36 points to 8. And that was tries from Lee Jones, George Turner, Peterson, and Horn. Two from Horn. Hastings with his kicking boots on. Alan, what did you make of it? I mean, it's 5 points at home. They're top of the conference. They seem to have bounced back fairly well after the 2 weeks ago, you know, shit show against the Southern Kings.
I mean, yeah. You got to remember it was 10-8 at halftime.
Yeah, I mean, the second half was good. The first half was quite bad.
I think just looking at the first half, I think we had something like 30% possession and we were pretty abysmal apart from Hugh Jones trying the first sort of like 6-7 minutes.
Which was a really sweet try.
I mean, it was pretty banging.
I was absolutely...
Hastings just too good.
He beats. His feet are so good.
Yeah, I know. But going back to it, I think if... Now, obviously, it would be a very different pack going into that game against Saracens. But if we play like, if Glasgow play like they did in that first half, we will be 30 points down at halftime. genuine fact, we will be.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
I think it's good that they managed to at least get some credibility back in the second half. I think scored a couple of great tries. And probably, again, the great thing for both Rennie and Townsend is... I thought Hastings, Dunbar and Jones had their second run out together. And again, all three looked really, really good.
Yeah, Dunbar certainly looked like he's really coming back onto a game. And that looks like a really nice axis. Again, the Dunbar-Jones centre partnership that's worked so well for Scotland is looking really, really nice.
Absolutely.
For Glasgow. First time it's actually properly clicked.
Yeah.
For Glasgow. Thought George Turner had a really good game. Really impressive carrying.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think in the first half, he was probably one of the few forwards that actually kind of stood out. Greg Peterson made a break.
Greg Peterson, who will never play for Glasgow again, Alan Little, last
makes
week.
A break and scores a try.
He must have had some kick up the arse after the Kings game.
Nick Frisby's still not managed to get his way back in after the game, though.
He's actually working for Malcolm Group now. he's been seconded.
Yeah. It's look, you know what? I think second half, good performance, but they've got to increase it by a couple more gears if they're gonna have any chance this weekend.
Yeah, and we will come on to review that once we've spoken to Mike Blair.
Shall we chat about the one big discussion point we haven't chatted about from the Glasgow game?
We can, yes.
Stuart Hogg's hair.
His new hairline.
It is a new hairline. That hairline has moved.
I think it is a new hairline.
He's got plugs.
I think, and, you know, he's joining, you know, literally royal lineage, I think. Actually, no, he hasn't. I was going to say Prince William's had hair plugs, but he hasn't, has he?
I don't know.
Maybe he has.
I mean, the only person I know is Rooney.
Rooney and Andy Good have had the hair plugs.
You know what? He looks good with it. Well, better than he did. Fair play.
Completely fair play. If he wants to go and do that, like...
And he's kind of enough big time now that he can kind of just get away with it. He does what he wants.
Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting that nobody's sort of... I would have thought maybe on social media, some of the lads might have given him a little bit of stick or something like that. But he's obviously the king. They can't come for him too much.
Yeah, but he also kind of comes across as like a bit sensitive.
Do you think?
You see some of the stuff when people have put stuff up on Twitter where he's like actually kind of come back and responded to them.
Oh, do you remember the night he shouted at David Soul?
Yeah.
At like 4 a.m.
But he clearly struggles a bit with kind of... Yeah. Taking that sort of abuse. So maybe he's just one of those people where they just can't kind of give it out as much.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean,
I think he's also added about 50 to 100k on his contract because he's way more marketable in France now. That lid was holding him back big.
That's
style.
That's true. That is true.
So no, good on Hogg. We like it.
Good on him. There was some little bit of, I think it was a Mark Palmer story that the SRU are going to table a sort of record bid to make Hogg the only player in Scotland earning over 400k.
I mean, yeah, I get maybe. And maybe that's enough to keep him. There is a big part of me that thinks we shouldn't be paying more than 400k for Hogg.
No.
Because I think with the amount of teams we have and the lack of space for development in the Scottish game, the model has to be that players like Hogg and Russell move on when they're sort of 26, 27, 28.
Scottish rugby has taken him as far as it possibly can.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's still going to start for Scotland regardless of where he's playing.
Yeah.
So I let him go.
And there's part of me that thinks that whilst obviously Hogg leaving Glasgow is going to have an impact on Glasgow, it's not going to have as big an impact as, say, someone like Johnny Gray leaving.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, yeah, no. See what happens.
But it's a very he's got loads of caps, warrior. To a first cap, David or Tavita Tamalau came off the bench at the weekend.
Yeah. Hit one or two rocks, made one or two yards.
Looks fine.
Fine? The thing is, I know everyone's chatting about how he's like this big, impressive ball carrier, but actually, you know, Maybe it's an unfair comparison, but in my head I automatically compare him to Bill Matta, and he's just not even close to being in that sort of league.
No, absolutely.
And maybe over time it's something that will sort of develop, but when he had the ball or when he was making tackles or rucks, he wasn't bringing that level of aggression and power that I was quite hoping.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit of a cameo. It's his first ever appearance. Let's see how he goes. I'd be surprised if he's in and around the squad for the weekend against Saracens. But best of luck to him, David or Tavita Tamalau.
Yeah.
Whatever he is called. And a wee bit of a shout out to Adam Nicol as well. He had a great game for young prop. Well played.
Coming out of Stirling County, done well.
Good lad. He'll be a good one to watch in the years to come. Right, Edinburgh got back. Well, I not got back to winning. It continued winning ways with another 5 points, 37-21 against the Cheetahs. Tries from Big Ben Toulis, Darcy Graham, who is looking red hot, Big Bill Matta, and friend of the pod, who you're about to hear from, Jamie Ritchie, cross the whitewash as well. Matt, Alan, back-to-back, 5 points for Edinburgh. Happy with that?
You know what, maybe slightly more happy actually with the Edinburgh result than I was the Glasgow. I think Edinburgh controlled that whole game apart from, as Jamie Ritchie will say in the interview, for about 10, 15 minutes after the second half.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think there's a lot of stuff in that performance that Cockerell's going to be happy with. I think Simon Hickey and Purgos are starting to gel a lot better.
I'm really impressed with Purgos. I think he's playing some really, really nice rugby.
Yeah, no, I think he's what Edinburgh need at the moment, and I think Hickey's kind of appears to be slowly each game sort of improving his performance and kind of stamping more authority in the game, and I think increasingly he's going to become actually more of a standout player.
Yeah, definitely.
Bill Matta just keeps being amazing.
What was the stat you were reeling off off air?
I think Bill Mata made 113 yards, and then the rest of the starting pack made 120 yards. Look, it's just, you know, that's what he does. He runs and he makes yards.
It's quite extraordinary. And
but the only thing is, I feel, is you've got Mata, you've got Bradbury. Again, Bradbury had a really good game, big ball carrier, makes yards. But then almost Hamish Watson looks like he's a little bit unsure of what his role is in that team. Because you've got Mata, Bradbury and McAnally, who are all really good and strong ball carriers, and then you've got your Gilchrists and your Tulises, who they'll do the tackles, they'll do the rucks, etc., etc. I just feel like Watson's not sure like what his role is, because I think in the Scotland team he takes on a lot of that ball carrying because Barkley and Wilson can't offer as much as people like Mata and Bradbury. So it's almost like he's having to play a different role for Edinburgh than he's going to have to in the Scotland team.
That's a really good point.
And I wonder, and I just wonder if actually going into this Montpellier game, we'll come to it later, whether you end up actually bringing in someone like Jamie Ritchie, who's maybe a little bit more dynamic on the ground.
Yeah, and we don't know what the team is looking like yet. So it'll be interesting to see how they decide to front up to that big Montpellier pack.
Yeah, it's a pretty small team.
But I mean, like, this is essentially a Scotland, or they're all Scotland qualified or Scotland cap front five. Roy Sutherland, Stuart McAnally, W.P. Nell, Ben Toulis, Grant Gilchrist, Magnus Bradbury, Hamish Watson. Seven players that have played for Scotland, and if they're on a Scotland squad, you'd be like, they are. That's a Scotland pack.
I mean, basically every player in Edinburgh Glasgow kind of has a Scotland cap. Like, it's just how it works.
It is kind of how it works. But I suppose that is a extremely good front five anyway that Edinburgh have got to base, and it's going to be very, very interesting to see how it goes up against the sort of the superstars of Montpellier at the weekend.
Can't wait.
So without further ado, let's get into that look ahead to the Champions Cup preview, Edinburgh versus Montpellier. We have chatted to back rower Jamie Ritchie, and we started off by asking him how the mood is in camp, looking forward to that return to the top table of European rugby.
I think we're all pretty excited. In previous years, well, since I've been there, I know we've always been in the different, well, what do you call it? I don't know Cocker's names for it, but the lower tier of Europe. So, we're really excited because they've kind of been used as games to kind of send a bit of a bomb squad to, but obviously now we're going to Montpellier, so it's a huge opportunity for us to test ourselves against some of the biggest names in Europe.
Absolutely, and I mean, Montpellier, they've got bag loads of cash and then an absolutely massive pack. How do you prepare to go up against a side like that?
I think we just got to kind of stick to what we've been doing well. I think there's things that we do that can kind of combat their strengths, and hopefully we're a bit more mobile and fitter than them, so hopefully outlast the 80 minutes and we'll see how we get on. But you've got to prepare for the physical challenge, obviously. So we've done a bit of contact today in training, so that's always fun. But looking forward to it.
So when are you guys flying out to Montpellier?
I think we'll fly out on Friday. So usually our week kind of goes, if we're away, we'll do a team run and then we'll fly out that day, the day before. So it'll be Friday.
And what's the ambition within the group? As we say, it's been a wee while since Edinburgh have been in the Champions Cup. I mean, what is the group sort of aiming for? Is it qualification and getting to those knockout stages, or is it just a sort of a good showing home and away?
No, I think if you're in any competition, you want to do well. So I think for us, it's approaching it the same way we'd approach any game, and that's trying to win it. So the old cliche, take every game as it comes, but by all means, I think we've got an opportunity to go over there and surprise a few people, especially Montpellier, and I'm sure Van will have them ready for us coming. But we're really looking forward to it, and I think it's a massive opportunity for us to show how far we've come in the last 18 months. So no, I think we're all looking forward to it.
No, it's going to be exciting. I guess, how have you found the start of this season? Obviously, there's a few kind of close losses to kick off the season. It kind of feels like the team's starting to get its rhythm again. How's it been for yourself?
Yeah, no, I've really enjoyed the start of the season. It's good to be involved. I think it's the first time I've been involved in every every game of the season so far for the first few. So, yeah, really happy with that. And obviously, yeah, we've had those couple of close losses, but I think we were in the game for, well, all of those games, and we had opportunities to win both of the two close ones that I can think of. And then the Leinster one probably was the right result. But then again, in there, there's opportunities for us to score a few more points and potentially run them a bit closer. So, yeah, I think the kind of win versus losses kind of doesn't really tell the whole story. But, no, I think we're kind of back to winning ways now. We obviously had a bit of a squeaky performance against Treviso, which we were a bit disappointed with, but we're a bit more happy with last Friday night, and I think we played pretty well, apart from those 10-15 minutes after the half where we looked a bit squeaky again. But then it's never going to be perfect, so there's always things to work on. So hopefully, again, this week it'll be a bit better.
Squeaky always makes it a bit more exciting, though. So
yeah, not for us, though. Not for us, because you know what you're going to get if you end up messing up. So
you've always been a really dynamic back role player. I guess for you personally, what are kind of the key things that you've been trying to look to improve this year?
I want to be a bit more of a presence over the ball, so post contact, post tackle, and stuff like that, and try to get a few more turnovers, which has always been a kind of strength of my game. Well, hopefully, it's always been a strength of my game, and it's just something I want to keep doing better, because I think that's something that makes a real difference to the team. And trying to get a bit more involved in attack, I think. I've always been a reasonably good defender since I've been playing for Edinburgh, because it's slightly easier than attack, I guess. But well, I find it anyway. But yeah, trying to get a bit more involved. I do quite a bit of stuff in the wide channels, just in the way our shape kind of works. So really enjoying that side of things at the moment. So.
Right, and you mentioned making more of an impact at the breakdown. Obviously, John Barkley's picked up a long-term injury, but what influence has he had in and around the camp, particularly with the back row players?
Yeah, obviously he's got a wealth of experience, so if you ever need to ask any questions, he's there, and he's there for team meetings and stuff, so he always chips in with his wealth of knowledge. So it's been great. Yeah, it's good to have him around. Obviously, he's a big character, and he's obviously a leader within whatever team he's involved in, so it's good to have him about. But unless he's not been in with us training stuff, so it's been a bit more difficult to kind of rack his brains because he's on a different schedule from us. But it's been great to have him around, and hopefully when he gets back fit, he'll be back to his best and helping us win some games.
Just looking at the Scotland team, had your first cap against Canada in the summer. How was that for yourself, and what's kind of your goals going into 2019?
Yeah, I was obviously delighted to get my cap. Was delighted to be in the squad, and then to get that start in the first game was over the moon. It's something you've dreamt about since you were young, and since I've been playing rugby, it's always something that I've aspired to do. So yeah, I was delighted to kind of achieve that. But then again, it gives you kind of a hunger for more, and so hopefully at some point I'll get a chance to run again, and if I'm involved in the autumn, that would be great, and if not, then hopefully I'll push to get involved for the Six Nations. But just kind of the best way to get into a squad is to play well, so if I can play well for Edinburgh, hopefully then Graham will give me a shout.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess how do you find that kind of the balance between sort of competition and playing with each other in Edinburgh squad? I know in the back row there's sort of five or six of you who are all sort of pushing for that starting position. How do you find that impact sort of training and sort of kind of off field your work?
Yeah, it's difficult to kind of explain it because you're all such good mates. So you don't say you don't like go hunting for them in training or anything like that, but there's obviously like everyone trains hard, and it's just good and makes us all better, and we all do work-ons and stuff together just to try and make each other better. But I don't think there's really any hostility, as I don't know if people imagine there would be, but there's no, we don't like try and smash each other at training or anything like that. But no, it's good, and then obviously there's loads of guys we've got a bit of strength and depth in the back row, but it kind of means for us, hopefully it means we're a bit fresher throughout the year, because Cocker's kind of afford to rotate, and he's not kind of flogging the same four boys every week, because he doesn't trust the other ones. I mean, you look at who we've got in the back row, and there's about four or five combinations that you could use, and that everyone would be saying it's a good team. So, yeah, I guess we're in a good place. We've got a wealth of back row, but it's difficult sometimes. You're like, oh, I want to start, but then you understand that it's not going to be this. It's not going to be every week, because obviously rotation comes into it, and then form comes into it as well, and combinations and how Cockers wants to approach the game. So.
No, much more high quality answer than my question. I guess, you know, you're still sort of a young guy, 22, but you know, you obviously had your first cap for Edinburgh at 18. How have you seen that club develop, especially now with Cockers being in for sort of a year and a half?
Yeah, massively. I mean, there's been quite a big change in players, especially. I think we had, 16 leave last year, and I think my first year there was 11 who left. So, seen quite a few players come and go. I think there's still a core of guys who have been there throughout, like Gilko and Stuart McAnally, Fraz McKenzie, Hamish, Tom Byrne, those guys who've kind of been constants throughout, and they were always your guys who were big club guys, and throughout even the times when we weren't playing well, they were always playing well. So, I think there's the feeling around the club is much different. Like, everyone's always been close, but now it's not just a good bunch of mates, it's a good rugby team as well. And I think you see from the first few games of this year that teams especially are showing us a bit more respect and putting out their best sides, and where we caught a few by surprise last year, everyone's preparing really well for us. This year, I think that's potentially what you've seen in the first few games of the season when we had those narrow losses. You saw the team's reactions when they won those games. They were delighted. Yeah. So it's a bit of a compliment to us and a compliment to how far we've come. But yeah, I think we're in a good place and we can only really get better.
You've got yourself, George Horn, Ferguson Brothers, Cam Fenton, Murray McCallum, all Strathallan alumni. What the hell are they putting in the water up in Perth? Absolute conveyor belt of talent?
Well, most of us are from Fife anyway, so I think something from there. But I don't really know. It was a good age group, and I've known George since I was like 3. And Cammy's obviously been best mates with George since they've been at school. So, like, it helps to know that there was people who you knew there. So when the offer came, it was easy to kind of make that transition because your best mates were already there, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it just ended up being that it was an opportunity for us all to be together, and we had a half decent team. So,
have you played at all down at Harrow Fife before then?
Yeah, so I played, well, not before I went to Strath. So I went to Strath in second year of high school. So I went quite early. Me and George started at the same time. So he was in third year of high school and I went in second year, which was fourth and fifth form in posh school talk.
What are you trying to say?
But then Cammy came a couple of years after that, and then Murray came for his last 2 years. So, and so did Xander, I think, but Matt was there early. But yeah, no, we played at Howe Fife for our last 2 years at school. So I played the fifth and sixth year, and then so played senior rugby in sixth year for the Howe Fife ones with a few guys who are playing Prem 1 now, and George and Cammy. So it was good fun. It's a good, really good team there as well.
Absolutely. Well, best of luck for the weekend. We're certainly going to be cheering on, hoping for an Edinburgh win, and hope you go well.
Thank you very much.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC.
For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Cheers, Jamie.
What do you think Cocker's calls the Challenge Cup?
I know the pod isn't exactly PG, but I think even it might be too extreme for this podcast.
I do remember somebody in the Edinburgh office telling me that they had to like cordon him off because of his language. when he's in like the office with like the admin, the finance team, effing and blinding, they're just like, listen, you've got to go in there. You can't be doing that out here.
It's cool. Like, you know, it's probably all part of like the mindset thing. He's like trying to tell the players, he's like, you are not a Challenge Cup team. We are a Champions Cup team.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is below you now. And I think that's definitely something that Cockerell has brought to that squad.
Yeah, absolutely. And great to hear from Jamie Ritchie, someone who's obviously been there for a few years now and seen it change. I mean, what a great environment for him as a young back rower to be in amongst John Barkley, Hamish Watson, Bill Matta, and other young lads coming through like Magnus Bradbury. Amazing.
So competitive in that back row.
Yeah, it's incredible. But as we say, and we mentioned in there, Montpellier, a huge, huge challenge. Physically, they've got absolute Galacticos, they've got bags of cash, they've got Big Vern. What's your view of this game at the weekend? Do you think Edinburgh have got a chance going down there?
I think they've got a slim chance. I honestly do. I think I saw, obviously, Cruzan's out injured and Goosen's now out injured. So
yes, I saw that.
Two of Montpellier's kind of main ball players are now out of this game, so they're sort of struggling for who they're going to have at 10. Obviously, they've still got Pienaar at 9. Which means you're pretty class.
You're all right. You're all right in terms of game management if you've got Pienaar at 9.
I think almost Edinburgh have got the better team to neutralise Montpellier than Glasgow did last year.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Glasgow last year just got a bit bullied, and obviously Nadolo then just sort of walked through Tommy Seymour.
Yeah.
And I think, just back to what you're saying, that pack, basically the Scotland 7 plus Bill Matta, need to sort of step up.
It needs to be a huge performance. I would say that Toulis and Gilchrist in the second row, absolutely, they need to be at their sort of last season's autumn international level where they were absolutely mint.
Yes.
The New Zealand game where the pair of them absolutely stepped up and went huge.
Yeah.
That's the sort of level they need to find this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you talk about Nadolo versus Tommy Seymour, what about Nadolo versus Darcy Graham possibly this weekend?
I don't know if you can do that.
Adam
Nicol v Macavunapolo is like unsafe. Graham v Nadolo's got to be unsafe.
It's going to be a very, very interesting one to see how that works out. But
I wonder if they might. I don't even know who you put it. The thing is, it doesn't really matter who you put it against Nadolo.
It doesn't matter, no.
I just wonder whether you almost put in. I was going to say someone like Chris Dean.
Of course, the answer to every problem is not Chris Dean.
Well, the thing is, because he's got a bit of, he used to be back row, he's a tough tackler. I just wonder if you're just like, look, I'm putting you on this wing and your job the whole day is to tackle Nadolo. It's a terrible job.
I genuinely can't believe your answer to this is Chris Dean.
I can't wait till Cockerell puts his team sheet up and Chris Dean's on the wing.
I will give you £100 if Chris Dean is on the wing to mark Nadolo.
But look, I think, as you said, I think Montpellier's backline's having a couple of injury issues. Yes, they've got Picamoles, Duplessis, maybe about 7 other South African forwards. But it's not anything any of these players haven't faced before at international level.
I agree with that.
It's just, they haven't played at that standard this year. They've just got to raise it. I genuinely think that if that Edinburgh pack plays to its ability, they can stop that Montpellier team.
Yeah,
I don't know how I'm being so positive.
No, I've got the feeling as well. Though it's going to be a big it's going to be a big European night.
Oh, I can't wait.
Do you know when Glasgow went down to Welford Road and put 40 on Leicester?
Yeah,
it's going to be that.
Oh God,
Edinburgh going down there, and I'm feeling really positive and excited about it. This is exactly why supporting Scottish rugby is the worst thing in the world, because we let ourselves do this to ourselves.
It's true.
But it's just great. I mean, it sounds like a bit of a trite point, but it is just great for Edinburgh to be back at the top table playing in the Champions Cup and getting these big fixtures. And it's going to make these players who are going to be playing for Scotland in about a month's time,
yeah,
provided they get through injury free, these sort of big hardening up matches make them much, much fitter and ready for South Africa, Argentina in the November tests.
I mean, for Gregor Townsend, you've essentially got basically the two teams that you're going to pick from playing Montpellier and Saracens. Who in those teams steps up to the plate?
Yeah, it's an amazing opportunity for the lads and for him to see guys getting tested at the highest level. So, quick prediction then. What are you going to give me in the Edinburgh game?
Edinburgh to win by two.
Edinburgh to win by two.
I don't know what's happening. Maybe I'm at home. I'm relaxed.
What you're like
at home? It's the cat.
Little Alan Jacobson is giving off the good vibes.
Yeah.
I'm going to back you up as well. I've just got a feeling about it. Edinburgh by 5 points.
We've gone so rogue. Montpellier beat Toulon at the weekend.
I don't care. Here we go, Edinburgh. We've backed you. So now to help us preview Glasgow, we have spoken to Glasgow Warriors skills coach and 85 cap Scotland legend Mike Blair. Delighted to be joined online by Glasgow assistant coach Mike Blair. Mike, how are you?
Hi there, very well, thanks.
And you're joining us from beautiful Largs. What are Glasgow up to there today?
It's not been quite so beautiful Largs today. It's been torrential rain. We've been training indoors. So we just, obviously first European game coming up, and it's a long week we've got. So we went from a Friday game against Zebre to a Sunday game against Saracens. So we thought it was a good opportunity to get away for a couple of days. The whole squad was here in the summer when the weather was a lot better. And the guys had a great time. The facilities up here are brilliant. So we thought we'd have a couple of days up here to hone some of the things we'll be looking at and trying out against Saracens.
Great stuff. And Saracens, obviously a team, they don't have a huge number of weaknesses. How do you guys go about preparing for a side like that?
No, they're really impressive out there, aren't they? I mean, they've been absolutely flying in the Premiership. But, you know, with all teams, there are areas that we'll look to target and think that we can get some change from. But, you know, we're aware that we need to be right at the top of our game to give them a run for their money.
Is Petrus du Plessis giving any insight from his time with Saracens?
I don't spend much time in the forwards, so I'm sure Jonathan Humphreys have been grilling him for information from his time there. But he's an impressive character, Petrus. He's only been in with us today, so he's come in learning all the plays and everything. There's a lot on his plate, but I mean, he's 37 years old. He's an old man. He's the same age as me. He's doing really well. He's kept himself in and we're really confident he'll be able to do a good job for us this season.
I think one of the things that sort of defined Glasgow over the last, especially sort of 12, 18 months, is just how strong they are at Scotstoun. And I know there was a stat going around today that I think Glasgow have beaten 8 of the last 9 Premiership teams at home. How big do you find sort of the Scotstoun atmosphere and kind of playing on that pitch?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, you look at, I think it's been pretty much sold out the last two seasons that we've played, which is just over 7. I think it's just over 7,500 now. Last week was the same, and it just gives the players, you know, and the coaches a big boost, and to have the chants ringing down. I mean, there's some cracking chants that they've got. I can't remember them off the top of my head, but I mean, some appalling rhymes that they get out there, but it just seems to work. But you know, it gives the players a massive boost. You know, when you're defending your try line for long periods of the game, like we did against Munster, for example, or when we've got the ball and we're trying to batter down the try line to score ourselves, that extra little bit of energy that the crowd gives is a massive boost.
you've as a scrum half yourself, obviously, how have you found working with sort of Horn, Price, Frisbee, Matt Wallow, there's sort of so much scrum half talent in that Glasgow squad at the moment?
Yeah, it's brilliant, and all of them are great to work with Nick Frisbee coming in. His nickname's Pickles. I still don't know why he's called Pickles, but he's come in and he's got a different opinion on things, and he's a completely new guy that I've had to work with. So I've enjoyed it with him. Obviously, George and Ali I know a little bit better through my time with Glasgow and Scotland as well. So trying to kind of build more layers in their game and seeing confidence come out in their games been excellent. And Nico's just he's just an absolute character to work with.
Is he actually coachable, or do you just sort of let him do what he does?
Yeah, no, he is. But I mean, the thing about Nico you've got to be careful for is not to overcoach him. So in terms of the basic skills, the kick, the pass, we can drill those things, but you almost don't want to talk to him about the instinct of the game and game management. And there's not much point in talking game management with him because, he'll instinctively do stuff, but he makes really good decisions as well. So, and he's obviously played a lot for us on the wing, so he's versatile. We had a 6-2 split in the bench last week, meaning that we could have just Nico and Pete Horn on the bench in the backs because he's so versatile. Which allowed us to have a couple of back rows on the bench as well. So he's good fun to coach and he's a bit of fun on the pitch as well.
When you take a player like George Horn, who's just, he's a complete rugby player. He's got that sevens background. I think he might have the world record on the Bronco. I'm not sure. What sort of do you focus on with a player like him, as sort of a young scrum half?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, his Bronco is ludicrous. I don't know if many of your listeners out there have had a shot at it, but he ran, I think it was a 4:15, which is, I mean, when I came back and played for Glasgow, I hadn't done the Bronco before, and I remember speaking to Stuart Yule, who's the Scotland strength and conditioning head coach now, and he was with Glasgow, and I kind of said to him, I was a bit nervous, and I said to him, what should I be trying to get kind of time-wise on this, and obviously I was a scrum half, and he said, oh, Mike, anything under five's good, and I ran a 4:53, and I was absolutely over the moon, and it's amazing how the game's moved on in that. What's that? Three seasons later, George has taken kind of pretty much 40 seconds off that. And, these are just the levels that these guys play at now. And the fitness that they showed, the work that they do during training they've done in the off season, that fitness allows them to do their job as well as they do. So if you don't reach those fitness levels, then that's when the issues with your technique start coming in and where you're a little bit slow and inside support and you miss that opportunity to score a try where when you're fresh you would have scored it. So it's something that we've really drilled with the nines in particular, that fitness level to allow them to do their skills.
He's probably a bit of a different type of nine, but likely that Richard Wigglesworth typically plays these big games for Saracens, and one of their sort of key platforms and their attacking strengths is the box kick game built around him landing on an absolute sixpence, which gets them onto the front foot. How do Glasgow go about sort of preparing to defend against that sort of tactic?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They use that tactic for territory and pressure, and we're aware that that's something they're going to come with. So we've got to be really astute about walking back in our channels and allowing the wingers to take the ball as uncontested as possible, and is a strength of theirs, and we have to be able to combat that to get ourselves into the game. So I mean, we were comfortable that we've got a very strong counter-attacking team as well, so if we can put pressure on those exits, if we can do some damage there as well.
Brilliant. And obviously you must be delighted in the last couple of weeks in particular, some of the big sort of midfield names, Alex Dunbar and Hugh Jones coming back and really looking sharp again as these big games come around.
Yeah, I mean, Alex had a lot of issues with injuries last season. And he's been able to put a string of games together now. And he's really important to us. He's a big physical presence. He gets us over the game line, and he's very good at his post-tackle work as well. And Hugh Jones, a very difficult season for Hugh last year, going straight from South Africa into Scotland into us as well. And he's bedded in really well this season. So he's had his surgery on his wrist. He's had a good full pre-season and he's looking sharp, and we're reaping the benefits of that now.
Absolutely. Looking back at your career, I was looking at, so your first cap was Scotland-Canada back in 2002 with Duncan Hodge and the Chainsaw at 12. What sort of memories have you got from that first tour to Vancouver?
We lost.
Yeah. I know.
That was my major one. It was actually, the game was played in a stadium called the Thunderbird Stadium, and there was basically one stand, and it was filled with kind of fields around the outside. And you know, you as a kid growing up, you have those dreams of what it's like to run out and play for Scotland. And I reckon there were about 3,000 people there, and it was pretty miserable from start to finish. And we actually, when Canada in the summer, we actually trained at the Thunderbird Stadium, and it's since been there's an artificial surface on it now. And I remember I messaged the Mossy Chris Patterson and took a picture of the Thunderbird Stadium and kind of said, "Oh, you know, guess where we are?" And he was like, "Oh Christ, that was 16 years ago," and that kind of hits home how old I am now. But great. Memories. It was my first Scotland tour, so great memories from that side of things, but not the most memorable of matches.
And I guess you're looking at someone like Adam Hastings, who's kind of coming into the setup. How different is it for sort of a 20, 21 year old coming into that Scotland setup than it was for someone like yourself?
I guess Adam and myself would be fairly similar in how we came in. He hadn't played a huge amount of professional rugby before he got capped. I got capped pretty much straight out of playing for Baramir. So it's a bit of a shock to the system for me. So, I mean, there's that side of things where Adam will have played a handful of games, but I mean, he's a really confident chap. And I think it's something that we see a lot with these young guys coming through who've got talent. A lot of them are very confident, and in a position like 10, you need to be confident, you need to be able to boss people and around. And I think with this season being the first season where Adam's played a continuous amount of game, you know, week on week, you know, we've seen his confidence really grow and bossing people around and shouting at people and telling them that they're not doing a good enough job, but obviously commending them when they're doing a good job as well. It's great to see that leadership role coming out in him as well.
No, absolutely. I mean, Adam Hastings is absolutely on fire at the moment. It's been great to see, especially with obviously Finn Russell leaving. I think ourselves were pretty worried about whether he was going to be able to step up into that 10 role. But I think you're right, the confidence and sort of class just kind of has been right on show for the first sort of six games this season.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know, let's not discount Pete Horn in there as well. You know, Pete was starting for Scotland in the summer at 10 as well. So, you know, he's an impressive player in at 10 as well. He can play 12 as well. So, there's a good foil with both of them. They work well together.
No, definitely. And just before we sort of wrap up, I couldn't go through the interview without going back to sort of 2008 and the sort of Scotland's England 15-9 win in the rain. I think it might be my favourite ever rugby game I've been at. Can you just give us a bit of insight into playing in that game and what the night out was like afterwards?
I'm not convinced you've got the score right. I think it was 15-9 in 2006, but was it not 18-12 in 2008?
It wouldn't be the first fact we've got wrong on this.
Yeah, part, I know.
I mean, you're more likely to get that right than me. I thought 2006 was 15-9.
Well,
when it was four penalties, isn't it? Yeah, maybe checking that. That's just boring. But no, 2006 was when the camera came in, the TV camera came into the changing room, And I thought it'd be funny to pull my wife runs right at my arse and do a kind of dirty dancing, not really thinking that, you know, anyone was going to see it. But then my mum had messaged quite soon afterwards to say, what on earth were you doing with your pants up your crack? So that's 2006. 2008, it was the first game I'd captained Scotland at home. And I was just amazing. I played about 75 minutes. I came off the last 5 minutes. And I went straight to the changing room to watch the game. It was on the telly in the changing room because I couldn't. I was so nervous watching it. And I remember when the final whistle went. And it's one of these embarrassing moments. If you watch the end of the game, I come out of the changing room. And I'm actually in tears about it. And it wasn't, like, it's a strange, because it wasn't so much tears of joy. It was kind of tears of relief. Because we'd had a really tough season that season. I'd had a generally tough time throughout my Scotland career. But, you know, it was just that relief that we'd bought ourselves a bit of time, I guess it was, would be the best phrase for it. But we had a good night. I think we're on George Street that night. But it was I'm bad at these things. After big games, I'm absolutely knackered. I'd go out for a bit and I'm probably home before anyone else and I'm boring. So you probably don't want to hear any of my boring stuff.
Mike, well, thank you very much for taking us down memory lane and for joining us this evening. Best of luck to the guys at the weekend against Saracens. Hope it gets off to a win.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot, guys.
So there you have it, Alan. Scotland legend Mike Blair's calling you out for fake news.
Well, I've done my research.
Wikipedia?
No. BBC Sport.
Ooh.
March 2008, Scotland 15, England 9. And Blair was right. Well, he was subbed off in the 76th minute for Roy Lawson.
Lovely.
So, yeah, 15-9 in 2008 and 18-12 in 2006.
So you were right for the first time ever.
Literally for the first time ever, something I've said on this podcast has been factually correct.
I'm very happy about that.
I know.
I'm happy for you.
I can't believe it's finally happened.
It's really, really good news. That was great to hear from Mike, all the way from sunny Largs.
God.
Oh, the Glasgow training base.
What an absolute... How much of a legend was he back in the day?
Oh, I know. What a hero. He was so good. He was like one of the best scrum halves in the world at one point.
Yeah, I think because there was the year where, I think it was 2008 actually, when they won that game, they said he got on the IRB Player of the Year list.
Yeah.
And then I don't think he was in the initial squad, but he ended up going on the 09 lines.
It was, yeah, somebody got injured very early on and he went.
Yeah.
He didn't have a great tour though, didn't see much action.
I think that was the tour where only Ross Ford got in any of the squads, and I think he was on the bench in the third test.
He got on, yeah. He got on. Oh, well. Shall we? Let's have a little bit of a look ahead to the Saracens game. We've talked about it in the weeks preceding on the pod. We don't give Glasgow much of a chance. You know, Petr Duplessis in. Glasgow are back to winning ways. Couple of wins under their belt. Do you think they've got any chance this weekend?
Oh, Saracens are so good.
They are like, so good.
Against Bath a week and a half ago. And then whilst, obviously, they played Harlequins this weekend and it was a bit wet. And obviously Harlequins gave a pretty spirited performance. Like, Saracens just have that quality.
Yeah.
It's just that pack. Just Billy, Itoje, Cruz, Jamie George, Mako. Like, that... I know Petr Duplessis is in, but just having that front row with people like Mako there, I just struggle to see how we can get the win. I think if we get a losing bonus point, that's got to be a massive success.
I think if you offered that, surely if you offered a losing bonus point to Dave Rennie right now, he'd bite your hand off at it.
I don't know if he would.
Do you not think? Dave.
I know. Oh, God damn you, Dave.
Come on, Dave. I mean...
I just don't think... I know we went to the Glasgow Saracens game, what, a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
And I just think it's going to be the same as that game where that Saracens pack are just going to be too strong, dynamic and physical for the Glasgow pack.
The Scotland factor, though, we did see Exeter, English champions, coming up last year to Scotland and losing to Glasgow. Couldn't Glasgow do that again? Can they find that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a little bit with that game where Glasgow had nothing to lose.
Yeah.
You remember that try of last season, which they scored probably the best try Glasgow scored last season.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I'd be surprised if they went for something as outrageous as that, although with Adam Hastings probably starting, they do have someone that has that in his locker.
Yeah. It's going to be really interesting to see Adam Hastings going up against Owen Farrell.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we're talking really established England Lions starter. He's got bagfuls of international caps. He's kind of like the professional 10 or 12, wherever you put him. It's gonna. We talked about it on the pod previously, that difference between playing 10 against Zebra and playing 10 against, you know, Saracens or England or Ireland.
Yeah.
Like, this is a huge step up for him, and it'll be really interesting to see how he handles it.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think he played against Munster at the start of the season, but again, yeah, it's just such a step up in quality. And you know what? To be fair to Hastings, everything that's been put in front of him, he's absolutely smashed through.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, with probably Price, Hastings, Dunbar and Jones, like, that is a world-class 9-13.
Oh, yeah.
It's just whether that pack can give them enough ball and quick ball for them to do anything with it.
How are you finishing off that back line? DTH on one wing, Tommy on the other?
I was thinking about it. So I think Rui Jackson has looked a little bit down on form this year.
A little bit.
I think actually Hall's going to be a big miss for this game. There's part of me that wants to play Tommy at fullback and have Lee Jones and DTH on the wings.
Yep.
Just because I think Lee Jones is looking good, and I think all three of them just give you so much more with the ball in hand. Yep. However, I'm pretty certain it's going to be a DTH, Tommy, Rui Jackson back three.
Yeah, I would say that's probably what we're going to see. And what about in the pack? Do you think they will bring Petr Plessis straight in?
I think so.
I think they will. I think they just need somebody who can stand against Mako Vunipola. Mike Blair saying, you know, he's been in for literally one day. He's learning all the calls and stuff like that. That's a huge ask for him. But, you know, he's been part of Champions Cup teams. He has played at the highest level. Like, he can scrum.
Yeah, that's the thing. He can scrum. And at the end of the day, you should have enough around him with Fraser Brown and Kebble. If you have that front three starting, you'd like to think that they can at least hold their own.
Yeah, absolutely.
With that pack. And then,
I mean, Saracen's scrum was actually not that great last year. They have improved it a wee bit, but it's not. Saracen's scrum is not what they're, like, unbelievably known for.
No, that's true. And I wonder if in the second row they'll try to bring in Rob Harley.
That's what I was going to say. I would say they'll probably start Gray and Harley.
Yeah. I think if Swinson had been fit, they would start Swinson for his size.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But I think this might be one game too far for Scott Cummings.
Yes.
And I think they'll want to bring Harley in, A, because he's a good line-out option, but just B, as much of a nuisance as possible at the breakdown. Because we know, again, when we went to Allianz Park last time, what Saracens did is they literally got over the gain line and just got so much quick ball.
Yeah, it was a joke.
Yeah.
Jim Hamilton made like 5 turnovers.
Hamilton was like the best player on the park that
ridiculous.
Day.
It was absolutely ridiculous.
And then back three, what do you think?
Matt Fagg's been in for the last couple of games. He hasn't made the impact I was hoping him to.
No.
I mean, Gibbons is an absolute nailed on. Probably Wilson for the big game. You can't see them not starting the two of them.
Yeah, I think it's going to be those two and Ash.
And Ash, yeah. Ash, who I think's had a very good start to the season.
Yeah.
I think he makes a difference to that team.
No, he's been good. And I think if you can put Ferguson on the bench, and you know he's going to be able to get stuck in with 30 minutes to go.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you think? Sunday lunchtime, 4:30 kickoff, I think.
3:15.
Is it?
Yeah, it's 3 something.
Anyway, you can have some food around it. You can have a Sunday lunch before.
Late lunch.
That's going to be lovely.
Yeah. I don't know. I was trying to think, would Glasgow prefer it to be wet or dry?
I don't think it matters.
And that's the thing, I just don't know if it matters. I'm going for Saracens by 12.
Yeah. One of my favourite correspondents on Twitter this week was when people were trying to find the positives in Glasgow Saracens, and one guy piped up to say, well, I think it's going to help Glasgow that they play on a 4G every week.
Yeah, I saw that.
As if Saracens don't also play on 4G every week.
No, I enjoyed that a lot.
I was like, that is the levels in which Scottish rugby fans will go to try and find a positive that they might win.
Yeah, I know.
I loved it. I agree with you. I can't see Glasgow. I think they're going to put in a very good performance. I think this team has, it's just got so much potential to put in a massive shift. And I think particularly at home, I think it will be within one and a half scores. You know, I think sort of 7 to 10 points Saracens.
I can't wait for it though.
Oh, it's going to be brilliant.
That specific Glasgow Saracens game is the most excited I've been about a game all season.
Oh, massively. It's a proper test against one of the best teams in the world. It's really, really exciting. And it's a Scotstoun. It's a shame we can't get as excited. We're backing Edinburgh to win at Montpellier, for Christ's sake. We can't back Glasgow at home.
Times are changing.
Well, we'll be back next week, hopefully with a couple of wins under our belt to review the European rugby and look ahead to whatever's going on. Thanks again for joining us. Keep chatting to us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod. Join us over on Instagram for the memes, Thistle_Rugby_Pod. And please keep the correspondence coming. We love it after the games. Give us your long, detailed breakdown. That is thethistlerugby@gmail.com. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.